You're listening to The Plug with Neil Griffith.
All right, hey everybody, how you doing? Welcome to another episode of The Plug Podcast with me, Neil Griffiths. Thanks for joining in on the fun this week. It's good to have your company. Before we get started, if you want to connect with the podcast, head over to the Instagram at The Plug with Neil Griffiths or on TikTok at theplug.podcast. Subscribe, follow, like, do whatever you want to do. We genuinely appreciate all the support and thank you for listening. This episode is a very excited one because this week I am joined by the frontman of US band Pierce the Veil, Vic Fuentes. Vic was kind enough to come on the show, not only ahead of the group's fifth studio album and their first in nearly 7 years, The Jaws of Life, out everywhere on February 10th, but also ahead of his 40th birthday and the due date, that's D-U-E by the way, of his and his wife's baby. Vic and I sat down and talked about the album and the years that went into the making of this record, as well as pulling double duty at last year's and this year's When We Were Young festival, and what to expect from the trio in the coming years. Here's my chat with Vic Fuentes on The Plug Podcast. All right, rolling, welcoming to The Plug Podcast. I'm stoked to welcome for the very first time Mr. Vic Fuentes from Pierce the Veil. Vic, thanks for coming on, man.
Hey, thanks for having me. Thanks for calling me Mr. That felt kind of nice. Felt elevated. It felt good.
We're very Mr. formal Vic. On this show. Yeah, Mr. Vic. And you may call me Papa Neil for the entirety of this podcast, please.
Papa. Sorry, to Papa.
It's so good to chat to you, man, because obviously we're here to talk about this Pierce the Veil album, but more importantly, happy Jew week, my friend. You're about
happy
to be
what out- week?
Happy Jew week. D-U-E, Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. I thought you said happy Jew week. And I was
Jew.
Like, what could this mean? What could Jew week mean? I'm not sure.
But dude, this is very Thank exciting. How are we feeling?
We're just on edge over here. We're just staring at her belly, just like waiting for our daughter to decide to dance her way into the world here.
There's not much to do other than that, is there? I mean, I'm only an uncle, so I don't know what that's like. Being an uncle's enough, but I imagine the anticipation's fun.
Yeah, I think we've reached about as far as we can go as far as the emotion of, of what we're going to be able to feel here. We're just like, we feel like we're mentally prepared as far as we can go, but we know there's a threshold that's going to cross as soon as she actually enters the world. So that's, we're excited for that.
Are you considering it a very good thing or a very bad thing that you're now waiting for the birth of your child a week out from the release of a band's first album in 7 years? Is this a good thing or a bad thing?
And, not to mention, I turned 40 on the day that our album drops as well. So a lot of like life experiences happening at once. But honestly, it feels really cool. Like February, this just feels. I don't know how we could have planned this in a better way. It's just what an exciting time of my life. I can't complain. It's amazing.
For people listening right now, we're recording this. What, 6-7 days before the actual album release? Are we ready? 7 years in the waiting. We're finally here. Are you ready for this? Are you nervous? Are you excited?
Oh, man. I'm super excited. It's just like, this is like the fun part, man. You know, all the work is done. You get to just celebrate. You know, it's just like a party. It feels so good to like just all that hard work you did. Finally get it out there, start touring and, just kick it all off.
We know that obviously, again, this is the first album in 7 years. Maybe walk us through a bit of how this happened, because again, not to mention between that 2016 album and now, there was that little thing called the pandemic that kind of stopped the world for 2.5 years. When did things really kick into gear?
It's been a gradual thing we've been working on for a long time. I didn't work during the pandemic. I was not like one of those artists who was like feeling super inspired and writing multiple albums or anything like that. I was kind of the opposite. So once we picked back up, working on the record, it all started moving quickly, but it's just, I think we notoriously take a while to work on our records as is. And so Yeah, you know, it just takes time to write. I honestly, I'm always just searching for the right words and just waiting for everything to kind of just work out and just kind of like always chipping away at them, you know.
What was really fucking cool about this album, and I've listened to it a few times now, that you guys collaborated with Third Eye Blind's drummer, Brad Hargrave, who I know is one of your favorite bands. Is this something that you kind of sought out yourself, or did they just happen to be big fans of your band?
Yeah, I mean, Brad is, you know, he's a friend of mine, but he also happens to be the drummer for my favorite band of all time. And, you know, Brad and my brother, I think, are my favorite drummers on earth. And I don't think I've ever been more nervous to ask somebody a question than I was to ask Brad to play on our album. And, but he's a really humble guy. He's not a rock star, and he just was totally down to do it. And, so when he signed on to do this record with us, you know, that like was a monumental moment in the process. It was like it kind of changed everything for me mentally. I was just like, oh my God, like, you know, I got my heroes on this record. You know, one of my favorite band of all time is going to play on our record, you know? So like that just like got my gears turning of like, what could this album be now? Like this could be something incredible. It's something super special, you know, like something, you know, that I could have never dreamed of doing. So yeah, that was a big moment.
Did you say you've known Brad for a while before this, or was this a kind of a cold call?
Yeah, just through our through friends. He got married to my friend Jamie, and then we
Right.
all became friends, you know, because he was just part of our friend group. Yeah, so just kind of worked out in a weird, amazing way.
Was he completely on board to do it, or was there a bit of hesitance? Because, you know, side by side, Third Eye Blind and Pierce the Veil aren't necessarily in the same bag of music, I guess.
I think he was a little hesitant. He was totally down. He like was like, I'm down, but he was a little, I think maybe insecure about whether our music would be, he'd be able to handle the style of music that we play. And so I kind of assured him that this record is not like our last two albums or whatever. You know, it's a completely different style. So I wouldn't have asked him if I didn't think that he could have elevated, you know, what we were doing. So yeah, I think at first he was like, is this gonna, I don't, he was like, I don't know if I can play you know, like a King for a Day style, like, song, you know, but, I was just like, dude, it's not that, it's a different thing, you know?
Yeah, it's a good time to come back to now, man. Like, I'll talk about the When We Were Young festival a little bit. But you know, think of the bands that are kind of having like a full-on comeback now. My Chem are back, Blink are back together with Tom DeLonge. You should be excited as a fellow San Diegan on.
Oh yeah, San Diego.
Like it is a crazy and exciting time for this style, genre of music, whatever you want to call it, that these bands that have been so big for a long time are almost like they're now as big, if not bigger, than they were 5, 10 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that When We Were Young Festival was like the proof that this genre of music is so deeply rooted in the lives of so many people, and it's bigger than anyone ever thought it was. You know, it was just like, man, I mean, look at those shows. Like that many people were just like, you know, really deeply rooted in that time period of music, and it touched their lives in such a huge way. So yeah, I loved seeing that crowd was it really, I think, proved something about all these bands.
It was like, I remember seeing footage from I was in Australia at the time, and I think like Red Jumpsuit Apparatus were the first set of the day. And you wouldn't have known that that was the first set of the day because there was already 15, 20,000 people deep at, you know, midday. That was insane to see.
Yeah, I mean, they were nobody wanted to miss Red Jumpsuit. I was so bummed that I missed them. And yeah, I bought my wife a t-shirt and brought it home for Christmas. And
That's nice.
yeah, it was yeah, I mean, you don't want to miss that band. That band was huge for a lot of people. And Yeah, all day, man. It was just like, it was like listening to your playlist on shuffle. Just at any given moment, walking around there, you would just hear Taking Back Sunday or freaking 4 Year Strong. You know, it was wild.
And this year you got Blink, you got Green Day. I had Andrew McMahon on from Something Corporate last week. They're getting back together for this show. Correct me if I'm wrong, are Pierce the Veil the only band to have played 2022 and now 2023?
I think we're one of the only ones. I don't know if we're the only one, but I know that that not a lot of bands got asked to do the second year for some reason. I don't know, but we're very happy to do it. It was really fun.
Looking for a new sound in 2023? The new ATH TWX9 is Audio-Technica's flagship true wireless headphone. These fully customizable premium buds deliver incredible high fidelity audio with adaptive noise cancelling and dual microphones for professional call quality. So whether you're listening to your favorite tunes, podcasts, or just looking for some peace and quiet, step up your headphone game with the new ATH TWX9. Available now at JB Hi-Fi Australia and audiotechnica.com.
Another thing that's been really interesting coming out of the pandemic with a lot of the bands that I'm chatting with, they seem to want, especially with the first album, whether it's a comeback album, whether it's the first album out of the pandemic, whatever it may be, they really have a conscious effort to make it as different or as far away from the previous effort. Did you guys have that with Jaws of Life?
I think it was like we were craving to do something new anyways. That was just what was naturally happening. And, you know, cause I think our last couple of records, we really, we had a similar sound, you know, we were playing like very complex, you know, high gain, guitars and this record, we wanted to, just do something different than what we were already doing. I was just writing different riffs and kind of taking inspirations from different bands that I grew up listening to, and it was just a different, we wanted to do something different. It was natural.
The song that stuck out for me on this album, I think, would have been Shared Trauma, in that it's a signature Pierce the Veil sound. You kind of push the envelope a little bit, but there's a lot of emotion in that. Is that something you guys really wanted to hone in on? Yes, you need that sound that fans love about you, but it needs to be doing something different, because otherwise what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, that was that song had a lot of firsts for us, like challenges that we've never done before. And you know, it's like something that our fans can hear, and you can hear a side of us that you've never heard, which is, I think, exciting. It's exciting for us to create that. You know, that song, and I remember, for me, I've never sang a song in that low register before. Like I'm more known for singing really high.
That's first thing that stood out. Yeah.
For me, it was a total challenge, super difficult for me to do, to try and like approach a song that way, you know, cause I've never done that before. So that was fun for me to work that out and give that a shot. And then, you know, musically it was a really cool, song, because it was a collaborative effort by the band. You know, I had been asking the guys to send me riffs and like send me anything you got creative, because we were writing, and Jaime sent me this little analog loopy beat, and I started hearing melodies over it immediately. And so it was kind of cool that it was a very collaborative effort with the band.
This album is your first without your brother and founding member Mike. Obviously, it's been a crazy few years in that regard. Are you able to kind of talk a bit about the status of the band and moving forward? Is Pierce the Veil a trio, or are you going to be looking for a permanent replacement for the drummer?
We're just a trio now, you know. I mean, we're all founding members, so we just kind of want to keep it that way.
Moving forward, is it possible we can recruit Brad? Because as a Third Eye Blind fan, I would be fucking down for that.
I tried to tell him to come out and play at least past the Nirvana with us, and he was like, nah, you guys got it, don't worry.
do you think, though, because you guys were lucky enough to play some shows coming out of the pandemic, which was great, leading into this album, is it fair to say the next 12 months is just going to be heavy touring?
Yes, absolutely. I think the next like 2 years probably will be pretty heavy touring. We just announced Mexico, South America, UK, Europe, we have a lot more to announce really soon too.
I have to ask, because I am Australian, are there Australian plans in there?
Absolutely. Yeah. We would not leave you guys hanging.
Good. And is it a dick move to even ask about music moving forward, or are the next, I guess, as you said, 2 years just going to be purely about hitting the stage and kind of sharing this album with the world?
I don't typically do a ton of writing in the middle of a record cycle. Just because, like, to me, it feels like it's almost like summer vacation for me. It's like you finish all your work, and then you get to celebrate and like enjoy all your hard work. And that's kind of like what touring is for me. I like to just like sit back and enjoy it and focus on the live shows, and really kind of like that's where all of our mental focus turns to, you know. So it's, you know, the cycle of, you know, write, record, tour, and like, you know, they're very different mental states for us.
And do you think you'll be okay navigating that space as now a proud papa?
It's going to be difficult, and it's going to be challenging. Yeah. You know, I've been confiding in a lot of my friends who are touring musicians who have kids, and kind of picking their brains about how they approach it and trying to get some tips and advice. And it's going to be interesting to see. I definitely need all the help I can get from my friends. So
has there been any horrendous tips? Like, I'm never, ever going to put this into place.
nothing that I can think of. They've all been pretty solid. Like, no, there hasn't been anything.
Before we wrap it up again, this album, I think it's exactly what it needs to be. It's, the band has evolved, the sound is getting bigger and better. Do you think this particular sound is something you want to tap into more moving forward, or is it entirely possible that you guys do a Third Eye Blind cover album? Because again, I would be down for that.
Dude, I honestly, I don't know. I mean, I didn't really even know exactly what we were doing with this record. Like our last record, Misadventures, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I was like, I want to follow up Collide with the Sky with something that is a progression of that album, you know. And then we got into The Jaws of Life, and it was kind of the first time that I was just really like, I don't actually know what we're making. I'm just kind of gathering material, and that was just over time, just gathering songs that I really felt were strong enough to put together. And so, yeah, I'm not really sure where we're going. That's, you know, hopefully it'll just be about like continuing to try things that we've never tried before. So I don't know exactly what that means yet.
Did you guys hone in on these particular number of songs for The Jaws of Life, or are there, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 more songs that are just on the side right now?
I think we've used pretty much everything that we wanted to. I don't really like long albums, like overly long. You know, I'm not a double disc kind of kind of person. So
if you've got two discs, you're a dick. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to put somebody through that. So we kept it down to, you know, a reasonable amount of songs, and I think that's the best of the best, you know.
Yeah. Well, Vic, it was so good to chat to you, man. Congratulations on this album. I fucking loved it.
Thanks.
I can't wait to see it live, albeit when we were young. Are you going to be in New York before October?
October? I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't think so, but maybe around then.
Well, then I'll see you in October. So good luck with the baby. Yeah. Congratulations again, man. Yeah. It was great to chat to you. Good luck with everything, and we'll talk soon, dude.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
This episode is proudly sponsored by Audio Technica Australia. Subscribe, rate, and review The Plug on your preferred podcast platform. And follow us on Instagram and YouTube at The Plug with Neil Griffiths and on TikTok at theplug.podcast to stay up to date with episode releases and giveaways.